welcome to the Marketing Showcase podcast. Today we are in Leeds. I would say idyllic setting next to Leeds Dock. It's a fairly nice sunny day as well. And we are here to talk marketing with Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I can do. So I'm Michelle. Probably a bit of a gobshite on LinkedIn. You know, I have a point of view and all that. I am a B2B marketer for a professional services company based here in Yorkshire. I'm also a Chartered Institute of Marketing volunteer. I'm an events ambassador for the Yorkshire region.
So there's a fair few hats there.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So today we are focusing in on an interesting subject, actually. We're talking about B2B buyers being treated like robots.
Yeah.
Put a little bit of meat on the bones of that subject, if you would do that.
Yeah, I think there's a stereotype in B2B that you have to be clinical and professional and devoid of personality, and that's not the case. At the end of the day, there is someone sat there, a human being sat there, that needs a connection from the person they are buying from. And just because it's, you know, business to business does not mean that there shouldn't be a point of view and a bit of personality in there. That's what connects us. That's what makes us, you know, lean in a little bit more on that sale when someone is guiding us or giving us that value piece with their with their own thoughts. And I think that's incredibly important. And I think a lot of people in business marketing kind of miss that.
So why do you think that is then? Why do you think it ends up being a bit like that?
Why? It's risk, isn't it? I think it's a big risk. The majority of business-to-business companies are devoid. They don't want risk. It's, you know, it's all legislation.
Play it safe.
Yeah, play it safe. You know, do what the textbook says and, you know, remove the... What is the word I'm looking for? Remove the liability. I think that's what they see it as, is a liability of having your personality up front. But that's the thing that builds those relationships. I mean, for me in professional services, you're sat with a human and you're talking through, so you need that rapport, you need to build a relationship. And if it's just static words or images or stock photography, you're not going to get that relationship.
This is a really horrible question to ask you, but I'm going to ask you it. Is this a problem with marketers, or is this actually a problem with business owners and the boardroom of a business that is perhaps direct? I'm just wondering whether or not people go into marketing thinking, I'd really like to play it safe and produce some quite middle-of-the-road content that doesn't push any boundaries.
Yeah.
Is it actually the direction that they're given from above?
I think sometimes it can be a bit of both, but I think it's definitely the people in the boardroom. You've got compliance to, you know, tick, get a box tick there. You've got, you know, stakeholders at a boardroom table that are like, oh, is this us, or should we say that? Is that going to create an issue later on? But from a marketing technical point of view as well, if you don't have that authority in this day and age where LLMs are looking for the authority in AEO, that's needing a point of view. So if you're not showing up with that point of view, search is not going to find you. It's not just, you know, keywords anymore. It needs a little bit more weight and authority behind the way things are going. But yeah, boardrooms are difficult to kind of navigate, and the people there, you know, they can be tricky, but there are ways around it. And yeah, I think I've waffled on that a little bit.
I think
I made a point.
An entirely separate podcast issue is this idea of like managing upwards, because it is such a skill in itself, and you almost have to have like a career's worth of experience before you go, oh right, I get it now. It's quite different when you're young and you look up to the people who are above you, and wherever you move, most people always have someone above them, and they always think, well, there's a reason that they're above me. But they might not necessarily agree with sometimes their take on things. So that idea of challenging upwards and managing upwards, which, as I say, is a completely separate thing. Do you feel that you are a bit of a lone voice on this, or do you think that you are representing the views of quite a few marketers who are maybe a little bit afraid to speak up?
I definitely feel that there's plenty of marketers out there that feel the same, for sure. I speak to a lot on LinkedIn, on the daily, and I'm a bit candid, just I have got the balls to kind of speak out a little bit more. But I guess on doing so, I have a change management certification as well, so changing people's perception. But it's, again, the technical of what someone is doing, for instance, in professional services versus the technical in what someone is doing in marketing are two different things, and getting them to align is a difficult thing to do. But it can be done. You just need to educate and speak their language a little bit more and give them what is it that we're trying to achieve here. We're both speaking from the same hymn sheet, which is serve the person, the client, you know, the customer at the end. So how do we do that, and how do we meet together to make sure that that is the job that we're trying to do? And that's the important part, you know, rather than going, oh, that don't work, or oh, they're not listening to me, how do we get that alignment, and how can we, you know, not give up but also stand our ground when we get faced with a no, because it happens, you know. No, that campaign's too strong, or it's not the right thing. You know, we can challenge that, and we can give, you know, our point of view. And it might take a few months to kind of change, but it will eventually change if we stand our ground and give that education piece of we're all trying to do the same job here. Let's meet in the middle, or let's meet. And when they kindly have that, oh, that's where it is, or the, oh, I saw it from so-and-so brand, then they kind of, the barriers reduce a little bit more. So it can be done.
We're almost bordering on a conversation about kind of culture, aren't we now, in terms of you would like to think most businesses employ people because they think they've got something to offer. Mm-hmm. And that means they might have a different view on things, or they might want to do things slightly differently. If you take it on someone because you want them to just do the same that everyone else has always done before, that's maybe a culture problem more than anything else within your business. But we're going deep.
We're going
to all kinds of things that I didn't think we'd go into. I think you've partly answered this in what you were just saying there. But what I was going to ask you next was a little bit around, because ultimately, you know, as marketers, we're all here to ultimately serve the benefit of whoever it is that we're marketing for, whether that's being directly employed or working freelance or whatever that might look like. So what is the effect on businesses when they kind of fall foul of this and get this wrong?
Well, they don't stand out. They mould in to what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is saying. An example I can give is the brand I represented. The brand palette was all the same as everybody else in that industry, greys and blues. And, you know, it's not a unique stance. So I brought a little bit more vibrancy in and a few more faces. And that started getting people to notice on that scroll. You've got less than 3 seconds to stop someone. So whilst I'm not endorsing someone be a disruptor brand and start throwing, you know, cow dung everywhere. you can do that with small tweaks and ease people in. And, you know, before you know it, you are a recognisable brand. And it can, so yeah, it can be done. It can be done. You can stand out, but you need to stand out. And I think, you know, people's versions in their mind of what does stand out looks like can be terrifying. But it doesn't necessarily need to be terrifying. It just needs to be recognisable.
Is this something that is quite industry specific? What I'm thinking is whether or not, you know, those kind of professional services, slightly more technical services, so I'm thinking stuff like finance and tax and auditing, stuff like that, whether it's a little bit more of a problem there, and if so, why? Is it a legal thing?
It can be compliance driven, but at the end of the day, that thing, so audit, for example, instead of leading with it's an audit and this is what an audit is, an audit at the end of the day is an emotional thing because it relieves the anxiety from that for that person. You know, it gives them that.
Don't go to prison.
Yeah, you don't go to prison and sleep well at night without this, you know, labouring over your head. So, you know, it's connecting what the emotional response and the story for the human that needs that thing. And that's it. It's just us connecting those dots for the human rather than the technical, the auditor doing, you know, the list of features. Instead, let's list the benefits so we've got that connection going. And, you know, if it is compliance heavy and you can't say certain things, there's different ways around that. So, and I'll give an example, Monzo.
Yeah,
Monzo, for instance, you know, they'll be compliance heavy, it's banking. You know, they'll have to have everything signed off. Yet instead, their social media is relatable humour that everybody, you know, has when they go to an office. It's like, hey, it's Friday, so that means no work or something like that. It's just silly, funny stuff that we can relate to, and but it connects us to that. That humour connects us because we're human. So yeah.
Well said. Good example as well. and there'll be loads more, actually, I think.
Yeah,
as I think about it now, I'm sort of thinking, yeah, there's quite a few different brands that I can think of that seem to have, like, pushed the boundaries a bit in what was traditionally quite a safe space. I'm hoping people, as they're listening to this, are thinking, oh, yeah, I can think of a few as well.
Yeah.
Whether that applies to their own space as well is an interesting one. Any tips that you want to share with us?
Tips. Drop the stock imagery.
Right.
Find your people, find your humans in your brand that have a point of view on that technical, because that's what's going to connect you to your audience. People buy from people at the end of the day. They don't buy from an institute or a brand. They connect. That's why there's influencers. Influencers. It's because, you know, people relate to people and they want to be guided, and they don't kind of, they want to play it safe. So by following someone's opinion, it helps them to, you know, to make that decision themselves. It leads them there. They'll still, you know, look for the research and look for the other bits that are involved. But ultimately, we like to be guided as humans.
Awesome. I found this really interesting. I could very happily carry on talking for the next hour because I think there's just tiny little subjects that we've touched on where I'm like, I have 20 questions that I want to ask you about that. But we are going to have to wrap it up. It's been a real pleasure to chat to you, Michelle.
Thank you.
If anyone wants to follow up with you or perhaps kind of follow your content, what's the best way to do that?
I am on LinkedIn and it's Michelle Herford. It's pretty much black and lime acid green is my personal brand, but I also have a newsletter called The Before Brief, if anybody is interested, where I candidly give my opinion on things because opinion matters.
I am going to go and have a look at your LinkedIn feed now because I'm intrigued.
It's a new one, so it is new.
Lime acid green sounds like
green.
It could be my new favourite colour.
Black and lime acid green.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Michelle.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.